This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Avram Nisanov ben Barach El and Istam. The Nisanov family is renowned for making sure and ensuring the continuity of their children and grandchildren to be able to send them to yeshiva and that they should continue on the traditions of Yisrael Saba. So on this occasion, we wish that their neshamas have an aliyah, b'gan Eden, tehe menuchasan, they should be militzei yesharim for simcha sanachas ad b'yes goel tzedek. It's sponsored Lilay Nishmas Fega Yachad Bas Shraga Feivel, Rabbi Newman's mother. We know everybody in the neighborhood knows Rabbi Newman's tremendous service to Klal Yisrael and all of his chasadim, the organization Chickens for Shabbos. So we're mevarechim that his mother's neshama shehavna aliyah began eden teimenu chasa shvil meis yosher for his family for simcha sanachas ad bias goel tzedek and achren chaviv. I want to thank Rabbi Avram Kasherim for putting together tonight's event and for always being at the forefront of Limud HaTorah and Avodas Hashem. And we wish him tremendous bracha v'hatzlacha, nachas from his children, simchas, parnasa, gezint, ad bias goel tzedek. Okay, now that we got all the introductions out of the way, after about an hour of delay, we could finally start. Okay. Marv Raboisai, the topic that's on everybody's mind is raising children. Yes, we think about ourselves, and we know what we have to do, and we're introspective, and we focus on what our obligations are, but somehow when it comes to our children, we're more concerned about our children even than we are about ourselves. There's something about it that what's going to be with our children? What could we do to ensure that we raise successful children, honest children, well-mannered children, God-fearing children? Oivdei Hashem, loyal to the Torah and mitzvahs. You know, it's a very, very tenuous time that we live in. We see with our own eyes so many families having challenges in this area, and we're sort of groping, we're grasping. What are the tricks? What are the techniques? What are the methods that we can employ to ensure that our children follow in the way of the Torah? They grow up on the Derech Hayashar, on the straight path. So I'd like to share with you what I call the 10 commandments of raising successful children. Not that I know anything about raising children, as maybe my children would let you know, but we all try our best. These are some ideas that that I've gathered. And what I would like to point out is you could go to many shiurim about raising children. And I've heard all over the years techniques and ideas and methods. And very often I say to myself, okay, that's a good idea, but where in the world did this guy get it from? Yeah, sometimes people get it from experience, but what I would like to present to you is what do Chazal have to say about raising children? Because I'm not here to tell you good ideas or thoughts or experience. I'm here to tell you what do our sages, Chazal, the sages of the Gemara, of the Mishnah, who have a tradition from Har Sinai, coming from Hashem himself. What does Hashem tell us about the role of a father and a mother? What is a father? What is a mother? What is their role in the perspective of the Torah? So let's start with this week's parsha. We have two very diametrically different children. We have Yaakov and Esav. And when we read the parsha, we notice immediately that there is a very fundamental difference in the way Yaakov and Esav talk. There are two basic differences that everyone is aware of, but there's one difference that many do not pick up on. Let's start with the differences that we all know. If you take a look on your source sheet, number one, Vayomer Yitzchak el Benoi, Yitzchak says to his son, remember, this is Yaakov Avinu, he's masquerading as Esav. So you have this tzaddik, he's smooth-skinned,
He doesn't have hair, but he's wearing this hairy robe to cloak himself, to masquerade like Esav. Vayomer Yitzchak benoy, ma'azeh mi'harta limtzoi b'ni? How'd you get here so fast? You know, I sent you on a mission to catch me some meat. How'd you do it so quickly? Vayomer, and Yaakov said, but again, Yitzchak thinks it's Esav. Ki hikra Hashem elekech lefanoi. God gave me success. God happened to give me the opportunity to catch some meat very quickly. So Yitzchak says, what's going on over here? Is this really Esav? Vayomer Yitzchak el Yaakov, Gishana v'amushcha b'ni, come close, let me feel you, let me touch you. So obviously Yitzchak is suspicious. There's something that this kid said that makes Yitzchak think, you know what? This is not Esav, this must be Yaakov. What was the giveaway? Why is Yitzchak being suspicious of the kid standing in front of him? Says Rashi, Amar Yitzchak b'libay, Yitzchak says in his heart, Ein derech Esav li Hashem shamayim shagar b'piv. This is not Esav. He said, God gave me the success to catch the meat quickly. Esav doesn't say God. Esav doesn't mention Hashem's name. The fact that almost the name of Hashem, like blurted out of Yaakov Avinu's mouth, that was like a giveaway. Yitzchak says, what's going on over here? This looks suspicious. This can't be Esav. Fine. Vayigash Yaakov el Yitzchak aviv. So Yaakov approaches his father Yitzchak. Vayimushehu, and Yitzchak feels him. Vayoymer, and Yitzchak says the famous words, Hakoil koil Yaakov. The Hayodayim Yidei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esav. Something about the way Yaakov was speaking, he wasn't speaking like Esav. He looked like Esav, he dressed like Esav, he felt like Esav, but he wasn't talking like Esav. So one clue we know already, he mentioned the name of Hashem. The other clue Rashi says is, Yitzchak is scratching his head. Who is this kid? He said, Kumna. He said, please. Esav doesn't say please. Esav is not polite. Esav is not courteous. Who is this kid? He feels like Esav. He sounds like Yaakov. Fine. That we all know. We remember that from second grade. That there were two major differences between the way Yaakov speaks and the way Esav speaks. Yaakov mentions Hashem's name. Yaakov is polite. Esav doesn't mention God. Esav is a little gruff. He's not that courteous. I want to point out to you, there is another fundamental difference between the way Yaakov speaks and the way Esav speaks, and it's not what you think. It's the exact opposite of what you would think. If we would stand on a street corner and stop every Jew that passes by, and we ask them the following, do you think Esav said it or Yaakov said it? I guarantee 99 out of 100 get it wrong. Listen carefully. Vayoymer Yaakov el Aviv, Yaakov says to his father, Anoichi Esav b'chayrecha, number 4. I am Esav, your firstborn. Asisi kasher dibarta elai. I did what you told me. Kum na shiva. Please get up, sit up, v'yachla mitzedi, and eat from my catch. Is this second person or third person? Yaakov is addressing his father, you. Kum na, you get up. Now, listen carefully. When you speak to your Rebbe, you don't say, hey, Rebbe, did you take the Van Wyck to get here tonight? You don't say you to a Rebbe. You say the Rebbe. You speak to a Rebbe, a Rabbi, or a Shiva in third person. You don't say, did you? You say, did the Rabbi, did the Rebbe. And here Yaakov is speaking to his father, second person. Kum na, you get up. And Esav, look at number 5, Vayashu matamim, Esav also made dishes. Vayove la'aviv, he brought it to his father. Vayoymer la'aviv, and he said to his father, Yakum avi, let the tata get up, let the father get up. Third person, Yaakov speaks to his father, Esav speaks to his father in third person. If I would have stopped you on a street corner and said, between Yaakov and Esav, who do you think speaks third person? Who do you think speaks second person? I think every one of us would have said Yaakov probably speaks in a very respectful way. He says, will the father, will the tata get up? And Esav says, you get up! No, just the opposite. Yaakov is polite. Yaakov mentions Hashem's name, but Yaakov speaks to his father second person. You, Esav speaks to his father third person. You know who makes this observation? You know who makes this diuk? Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. and Rav Nosson Adler in the Sefer Toras Emes. A few years ago, somebody randomly handed me the Sefer Toras Emes of Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler was the great rabbi of the Chassam Sofer. He's buried in Germany. He writes, Yaakov speaks to his father, Kiderach Shebnei Yisrael Medabrim El Avo Yisehem. The way Jews speak to their father. Listen carefully. Jews, when they speak to their father, they say, will father, will you? They don't speak to their father in third person. But Esav speaks to his father third person the way Gentiles speak to their father. Gentiles speak to their father third person. That's somewhat of an eye-opener. That's the opposite of what I would have thought. I would have thought Jews would be more respectful to their parent, and Goyim would be more not careful to show the proper kavod. And yet Rav Nosson Adler is observing the fact, an interesting phenomenon, Jews speak to their father directly, you, and Goyim do not. What's the explanation? Why is that? Why should that be? Comes the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer explains the rationale behind the difference in this type of conversation. And says the Chassam Sofer, he quotes his Rebbe. His Rebbe he calls the Goyin, the Chassid, Sheva Kahuna, the righteous Kohen. And he says, let me explain something to you. You know who else we speak to second person? Hashem. We don't say, will the Hashem give me money? Will the Hashem give me a shidduch? Will the... We say, Baruch Atah, you! We address the Ribbono Shel Olam second person. You know why? Because we're not distant from Hashem. We're not far from Hashem. We cling to Hashem. We're close to Hashem. When you're close to somebody, when you're davuk to somebody, when you cling to somebody, when you're v'atem hadveikim Hashem alekeichem, you say, Baruch Atah, you! When you deal with your father, do you know what kind of relationship will you have with your father and your mother? There's a concept, Bara Mezaka Abba. A child brings merit to their parent. The mitzvah that a child does goes to the father and mother's wallet. All the zechusim a child accomplishes goes to the parent. There's such a bond between parent and child. There's such a connection. There's a concept, Bra kara de avua. The child is like the legs of the father. Therefore, we cannot talk to our father third person. Not as much. Not as much. Bra kara de avua means like this. A Rebbe is also like a father. Vishinantam levanecha are the talmidim. But in the Rebbe dimension of it, you don't have the same closeness. But by goyim, by Gentiles, father and child, they don't have that closeness. You don't even always know who the father is. You know, there's a concept that there is no patrilineal descent. There is no concept that when a Gentile does a good deed, it accrues to the merit of the parent. Therefore, by Klal Yisrael, there is such a closeness between parent and child that we don't even refer to a parent in third person. It's second person, the way we refer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's develop this, because this is sort of a revolutionary understanding of the role of a parent. You know, if I were to ask you, what's the job of a father? What's the job of a mother? What's the central job of a parent? Most people would say, you got to teach the kid. You got to learn with your kid. You have to teach him how to daven. You have to teach him how to learn. You have to teach him how to be a mensch. You have to teach him how to make a living. All the various responsibilities that a parent has to teach the child. And the Gemara in Kedushin says there are five obligations on a father. He has to give the kid a bris milah, pidyon haben, teach the kid a livelihood, and so on and so forth. Get the kid through life. So one would then think the role of a parent is instructor, teacher. Listen carefully. These are just details. But if we would have to sum up in one word, what is a parent? This is going to be shocking. And don't say, you know, this is some kind of new age idea. I'm going to tell you what the psukim and what Rashi says. If you look in Parshas Re'eh, in the Parsha of the Mesis, the Mesis is, if somebody seduces another Jew to serve Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk says, if your brother or your sister persuade you to serve Avodah Zarah, Oireacha Asher Kenafshecha, or your friend that's like your soul. Who's that? Who's your friend that's like your own soul? Says Rashi, you know who your friend is that's like your soul? Zeh Avicha, your father, your parent. Meaning, what is a parent in the definition of the Torah? Your soul friend. Not your teacher, not your instructor, not your best friend. The Torah is saying, Avi re'echa asher kenafshecha ze avicha. What is a father? Re'echa asher kenafshecha. Listen to the following. Right, if I were to ask you, define, what does father mean? What does mother mean? Listen carefully. Remember when Yosef went down to Mitzrayim and the brothers are getting really nervous. The brothers think that Yosef's going to have his head. Yosef's going to kill him. Yosef's going to take revenge. So Yosef says, no, you didn't send me here. It's not because of you that I'm in Egypt. God sent me here. You know what I'm doing here? Vayesimeni la'av l'paray. God made me paroy's av. What in the world is Yosef talking about? God made me Yosef's av? Yosef is saying, God made me Paro's av? Think for a moment. Just conjure up in your mind, what did Paroi look like? You know, he's some Egyptian guy. He had that, I don't know, triangular hat, you know, with the straps by the shoes. And he had a mustache. I don't know, what did Paroi look like? The Gemara says he was one amma tall. He was a short guy. And Yosef, he's a Yid, and Yosef is saying, God made me Paro's father? Yosef was never Paro's father. What does Yosef mean, God made me Paro's father? Says Rashi, you know what Av means? Le'av, le'chover, u'le'patroin. You know what the definition of father is? A friend and a supporter. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, Rashi is revealing to us the Torah definition of a father. Definition of a father is not teacher, is not mentor, is not role model. It's your best friend. Friend and supporter. Now, supporter doesn't just mean money. It means whatever the kid is doing in life, you're their number one supporter, cheering them on, encouraging them, showering them with love. It almost goes contrary to maybe our gut instincts. I have to show him that he didn't do this. His shirt is untucked. I got to go tell him. Yeah, you do have to tell him. But realize what the role is. The role of chaver, the role of av, is the role of a friend. Listen carefully. In Parshas Vayetze, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Mem Vav, number 13. So Yaakov Avinu, this is... Yaakov Avinu was just caught up with Lavan. Lavan chased after him. This is after Yaakov ran away from Lavan's house. And Lavan caught up to Yaakov Avinu. And Vayomer Yaakov Le'echav. Yaakov tells his brothers, Liktu Avanim, gather stones. And they gather the stones and they make a mound. So Rashi is bothered by a question. What do you mean Yaakov told his brothers? How many brothers does Yaakov have? He only has one brother, Esav. And there's no way Yaakov called Esav to help him out. Yaakov's not on speaking terms with Esav. Who are these brothers that Yaakov Avinu is calling? Says Rashi, brothers, Haim Banav. The brothers that Yaakov called are his children. Shehayu loy achim nigashim elav letzara ulmachama. Yaakov Avinu dealt with his children like his brothers. Comes the chisa. You say, okay, I don't know what was going on in times of Rashi. Maybe in Rashi's times, you know, people had different relationships with their children. But come on, nowadays, 2017, I got to tell my kid what to do. If he doesn't do his homework, I'm going to give it to him. And if he stumbles and bumbles, he's never going to hear the end of it. I mean, this Rashi, do we actually follow this? Is this really the role of a parent to be the kid's best friend? Says the chida. From this Rashi you learn. Lamadnu, says the Chida in the Sefer Bris Olam, Sheyakov Avinu Alav Hashalom Hayamachshiv Es Banav Ke'echav. Yaakov Avinu did not treat his children like his servants, like his second class. Yaakov Avinu did not treat his children like his students, like people that he had to whip into shape. Yaakov Avinu considered his children like his brothers. Says the Chidah, if you want to have peace at home, you want to have tranquility in the house, you want to have peaceful existence. Now listen carefully, I once said this over, don't misunderstand it. Says the Chidah, V'chein roi la'av she'yachshiv banav gedoylem ke'ilohim echav. This is not talking about little kids. We're not talking about 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, 10-year-olds. We're talking about adult children here, teenagers. You treat a teenager, I got to show them and I got to tell them, and you have to be careful. Says the Chidah, the best role that a father or mother fills if they're going to have success with their children is if the child feels and knows that first and foremost, you are their chaver and their patron. You're their friend and you are their supporter. It's a revolutionary concept. It's not old school, but it's older than old school. Rashi is before old school. The Chidah is before old school. This is the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. This is the Hashkafa of Chazal, of the Gedolei Yisrael, that to be successful with adult children, it's not about whipping them into shape and telling them what to do and beating them, chas v'shalom. It's about being there for them as their best friend. In fact, the Chidah brings down from the Sefer Chassidim. Yeah, well, we could do the signing after. Yeah, they'll get your autographs after. It's okay. Yeah, on the way out, everyone could sign. Okay, it's a little distracting. So, says the Chidah, a very interesting gematria. We know, Hinei ma'toiv u'manoem sheves achim gam yachad. Says the Chidah, the gematria of achim gam is banim. Meaning, if you want to know what your children should be treated as, how they should be valued, how they should perceive your relationship with them, it should be achim gam is gematria banim. This is the chiddush of the Chidah. This is what we see from Rashi. Interestingly, some kid comes in with his parents to the Rosh Hashiva. And the parents tell the Rosh Hashiva, look, you know, our role is to give instruction to our kids, tell the kids what to do. If they're, you know, if they're on the wrong path, if they're veering off the path, we're going to let them know. And the kid obviously was suffering from very overbearing parents. You know, the parents were a little bit too overbearing to the kid. And they walk into the Rosh Hashiva. And the Rosh Hashiva tells the parents, I don't know really that if this is the correct approach. You know, maybe you're being too strict, too overbearing. It's too much stress on the kid. So the Rosh Hashiva tells the kid, you know what, let's go to Rav Shach. Good? Let's go to Rav Shach. Let's get Rav Shach's take on, you know, the correct approach. B'chinuch HaBan Rav Shach is one of the Gedolei Hadar, the Manig Hadar, the last generation. And they come into Rav Shach, and Rav Shach said like this, that there's a big misconception out there of what the role of a father and mother is. Says Rav Shach, a parent really has a dual role. Parent has to teach the kid Torah, teach the kid Midos, teach the kid Derech Eretz. And in that sense, as a Rebbe, you know, Chazal say, the relationship of a Rebbe with a kid is not a very loving relationship based on what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara says, Zeroi Gemara b'talmidim. You need to inspire awe in the students. The Gemara says that if a student is sitting in front of the Rebbe and his like mouth is not dripping with sweat from fear of the Rebbe, then it's not the right environment. In other words, in order to fully absorb from the Rebbe, there needs to be awe. But on the other hand, the parent has to be barachamim, karachim of abanim. So a parent has like this dual relationship with the kid. Said Reb Shach, that's in the olden days. In the olden days, the parent had to fulfill both roles. The parent had both responsibilities, Rebbe and parent. But there was a man in the times of Chazal, in the times of the Gemara, by the name of Rabbi Shua ben Gamla. And Rabbi Shua ben Gamla established a law that every city in Klal Yisrael has to have a yeshiva. Well, says Rav Shach, once that law went into effect, that when a parent gives the kid over to the yeshiva, the parent is appointing the Rebbe and the yeshiva to teach the kid Torah, teach the kid how to daven, teach the kid certain guidelines of Judaism. And therefore, what is reserved for the parent is one role and one role only. The parent's only job is to shower the kid with love. So what's going to be with my kid? He's not going to know how to do this. He's not going to... It will get done. But if you want to know what the primary role of a parent is, the definition of Av is Chaver and Patroin. The definition of Av is Re'acha Asher Kenavshecha, a friend like your soul. The definition of an Av is a brother, an Ach. Who says this? The Psukim, Rashi, the Chidah, the Chassam Sofer, Rav Nosson Adler. Not making this up. This is what Chazal say. You could go to Shiurim and you could listen to whatever anybody thinks they know about Chinuch. I am only presenting to you the opinions of the Gedolei Yisrael. And this is what I consider the first commandment of raising children. To reevaluate what is my role as a parent. It's not so much instructor, it's not so much mentor, more than anything else. Av is a chaver. And that's something very much worthy of our consideration. Okay, let's move on to commandment number two. Commandment number two is like this. So the kid comes home and they're at the table, they're at the Shabbos table, and the kid says something bad about somebody, and you say to yourself, well, that sounds like, I once heard there's something called Lashon Hara. So you tell the kid, Shefala, I don't think you should say that. So the kid said, why not? I think I once went to a shir, it's something with a Chaim Chafetz, Hara Lashon, and you say, you know how to say that, it's Lashon Hara. Really, the kid said, it's Lashon Hara. Do you know what Lashon Hara is? Yeah, I went to a shir once. Commandment number two is like this. If you don't really mean it, and it's not coming from your heart, don't even bother saying it. It's worthless. The kid will pick up right away that you're just parroting something that you read or heard somewhere. If you want to make sure that the words that you say enter your kid's heart and not only their ears, you better mean it, because if you don't mean it, it's absolutely worthless. Don't waste your breath. Don't tell your kids what to do unless it's coming from your heart. But if you are even a little bit insincere about it and you don't even know what it is and you don't really mean it, you're just saying over something you heard somewhere, don't waste your breath. Says the Al-Sheikh, we learn this out from the Psukim in Kriya Shema. In Kriya Shema we say, V'hoyu hadvarim ho'ela asher anoichi mitzavcha hayoim al levavecha. It should be on your heart. What are the next words? V'shinantam levanecha. Meaning, if you want to be successful in Vishinantam Levanecha, it better be V'hoyu Adram Elash Shanach Mizal Hayim Al Levavecha. If it's Al Levavecha, then it will be Vishinantam Levanecha. And if it's not in your heart, you don't really mean it. If it's just on your mouth, don't waste the words. They'll realize right away you don't mean it, and it will just go hit the eardrum and bounce right off. But if you want to make sure that it enters their heart, it better be Al Levavecha, and then it could be Vishinantam Levanecha. So that's rule number two. Rule number two is, don't even bother wasting your time unless you really mean it. If you're going to get up at the Shabbos table, and you're going to pick up the Sefer Chafetz Chaim upside down, because you read somewhere, I once read in a Parsha sheet, that you shouldn't speak Lashon Hara, you don't know what it is, you don't mean it, don't waste your time. Reserve your instruction and your advice for things you feel and you really mean. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, number three. Commandment number three. Commandment number three is like this. Originally, the servants of Hashem, the ones that did the avoda in the Mishkan, were what's called the Bechorim, the firstborn. And then the system failed and Hashem transferred it from the firstborn to the Levium. So originally all the firstborn did the Avodah. And then after that, it was transferred over to the Levium, the Levites. Right, David? The Levium. Fine. Why? How did it get from the Bechorim to the Levium? So most people would say, well, because the Bechorim did an Avera. They sinned with the Cheira Egel, they served the Egel. And because they served the Egel, they lost the Avodah and it was transferred to the Levium. Let me share with you what the Chizkuni says. Chizkuni says something very important. Chizkuni says that's not the real reason. You know what the real reason is? there's a fundamental flaw with the process of the firstborn. You know what's wrong with the firstborn? Because if I'm a firstborn and I have to do the avodah in the Mishkan, but maybe my father is a middle kid, and maybe my grandfather is the third child. So basically, I never saw my father do it. I never saw my grandfather do it. And poor me, I have to go into the Mishkan and learn what to do. So you say, what's the problem? We'll send the kid to school. We'll send him to a Mishkan school. And we'll tell him what to do. Says the Chizkuni, telling people what to do is worthless. If you think you're going to tell your kid, do A, do B, do C, do D, don't bother with A, don't bother with B, don't bother with C, don't bother with D. Nobody's listening. You can have a rabbi, you can get up every Shabbos, do this, don't do that, do this. Everyone's sleeping, nobody's listening. Nobody cares what anybody has to say. You think anybody cares what somebody says because a guy gets up and he has a long beard and somebody's listening? Someone's going to do something differently because somebody said something? Nobody cares what anybody says. Nobody listens to what anybody says. It's all about one thing and one thing only. What do you do? I don't care what you say. I care what you do. The problem with the system of Bechor is if my father's not a Bechor, my grandfather's not a Bechor, then you could tell me until I'm blue in the face, until you're blue in the face, do the X, Y, and Z, I'm going to go to the Mishkan and I'm going to do the wrong thing. You know why? Because you can't really teach somebody by just relaying information. They need to see a living example. And therefore Hashem transferred the system to Leviim. You know why? Because if I'm a Levi, my father's a Levi, and my grandfather's a Levi, and I saw how my grandfather did and my father did Hey, Shefala, don't speak Lashon Hara. But Daddy, the whole meal, you're bad-mouthing the rabbi. No, but I'm just telling you what the right thing to do is. It's worthless. Don't even bother telling him. Don't tell him what to do. It's not going to mean anything. The kid will pick up what you do. If you're careful, your wife asks you, did the Rav speak well this Shabbos? His oratory skills are tremendous. Yeah, but did it make any sense? It's really resonating with me. Yeah, do you feel inspired? I'm to the moon. Even though, you know, you didn't even understand one word the rabbi said. Oh, so the kid learns to be careful not to speak badly about people. Yeah, it's very nice. You should definitely learn Hilchos Lashon Hara. I'm not against telling what your children to do. But in the scheme of things and relative to what they learn from what you do, learning from what you say is on the lower end of the spectrum. And just on this detail, we could really have called it a separate commandment, but the 11 commandments of raising children would not have sounded good. So we're keeping it as part of the third commandment. Again, the third commandment is, if you want to make sure your children learn certain things, you need to be a living example. Don't bother telling them. But this is a very important, Nakuda is a very important detail. Listen carefully. They once asked Rav Pam, you know, they said, Rav Pam, we're living in an age, children don't have derech eretz, they don't have courtesy, they don't have manners. Like, what could we do to instill some derech eretz in our children? So Rav Pam said a very interesting thing. Even in terms of being a living example, if you in shul or in the public, you're the most courteous guy, you're the most courteous woman, the most polite person, and you deal with everyone with dignity. But when you get home, you tell the kid, you brat, get off the bed and get me my slippers now. And you speak down to them. And you're not polite and not courteous to your children, says Rav Pam. Children, they don't even care how you act in general. Children only care and will only pick up on how you talk to them. If you speak to them courteously, politely, that's how they'll speak to others. If you talk down to them, that's how they'll talk to others. You could be the nicest, most genteel, courteous person on the street and in the shul. They don't care. That's not what they're going to pick up on. They will pick up on how you deal with them. In fact, Rav Pam says, his own mother never said like the slightest improper word to the children. Even on a Friday afternoon, everybody knows Friday afternoon, the stress levels in the house are, you know, they get pretty high. and people are on edge, and people are agitated. Rapam would say over that his mother would ask a kid, could you please get me a fork? I mean, a kid getting a fork, it's not like, you know, they're doing the greatest act in the history of mankind. They're getting a fork. The way his mother would thank the child, thank you so much, you're such a tzaddik, yes, you're such a tzaddik, Zizkai, I really appreciate you, so nice. So, says Rapam, the way she would shower us with praise, even for the smallest things that we did, so that instilled in us Darachara. Says Rapam, more than the way a parent acts to others, it's the way the parent acts to the child, that's how the child picks up proper behavior. So, Marv Rabbeisai, commandment number 3. The way you deal with your children, the way you treat them, the way you speak to them, is maybe the greatest way to convey values to them. Okay, commandment number 4. Commandment number 4 is like this. The Gemara says, in Masechta Nedarim, Davar ze sha'al l'chachamim, l'nevi'im, la'anshei Knesset Hagdola, nobody could explain it. Not the sages, not the prophets. Nobody could understand mipnei ma of the haaretz. Why was Israel destroyed in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash? And the Gemara says, until God himself came down and said, they did not make Birchas HaTorah. The Jewish people were not making a blessing on the Torah. So the question is, the angels don't see. The Gemara says, even the angels didn't know. I mean, why can't the angels come to Shul in the morning? They'll see the Jews taking out their Siddurim. They're saying Anatils Yadayim. They're saying Asher Yatzar. They're saying Birchas HaShachar. They're skipping Birchas HaTorah. What's the big rocket science that only God Almighty was able to identify that the lacking of the Jewish people in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash was they weren't making Birchas HaTorah? What's the big secret over here? So Lavush says something very important. The question is not why was Israel destroyed. We already know why Israel was destroyed. The 3 big sins, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Dam. The question is like this. We know why the land was destroyed. But why weren't the Jewish people producing Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, God-fearing Jews, Jews that we could be proud of? In other words, the question is not what happened to the temple. The question is, why are the caliber of Jew so much lower than in previous generations? What happened? Why was the message not being conveyed? And you know what the answer is? They didn't make Birchas HaTorah. Let me explain. It says that this is the Lavush's explanation. Lavush says like this. Shabbos morning. You go to your kid. Wake up! Shachris is 9 o'clock. Get out of bed. We gotta go to shul. And the kid looks at you, and he says, "Tati, you're so tired. You look so distraught. You look so worn out." "Yeah, Shefala, I am so dead tired. And shul, it's such a struggle. I wish I could stay in bed. But what can we do? We're servants of Hashem. So even though it's really a very terrible thing to have to go to shul, it's so hard. And I'd really rather not. But what can we do? We're in Hashem's army, so we have no choice. So get out of bed." So the kid said, "You know, I have a great idea. You go to shul, and I'm going to stay in bed. Who needs it?" And then the Shabbos afternoon, the father says, "No, open up your Gemara. Why don't you learn something?" So the kid looks at the father. The father looks like he's like in a half a coma. The father looks like he's suffering but going to the shir. The father's doing everything in the world. He's davening. He's learning. He's the most righteous man in the world. But it's with an attitude of, it's so hard. It's so difficult. Who needs it? But the father's doing it religiously and righteously and with a full heart. The only thing is, the kid sees on his father's face that it's a shrug and it's not enjoyable. The kid sees the father doesn't enjoy davening, doesn't enjoy learning. So says Lavush, why do we make a bracha before we learn? You know why, says Lavush? Well, we make a bracha before we drink soda, before we eat pizza, because you can't get pleasure from this world without a bracha. Learning Torah is also a pleasure. doing mitzvahs is also a pleasure. The reason we make something called Berachas HaTorah is because the same way we have to make a bracha on every pleasure of this world, we need to make a blessing on learning Torah. If Klal Yisrael were not making a Berachas HaTorah, what that means is they didn't value learning as a pleasure. They just viewed it as an oil, a responsibility, something you have to do. Says Levush, the main ingredient in ensuring that Torah values get passed down to the next generation is if a child sees the father loves davening, loves learning, gets enjoyment from it, gives him a perk, gives him chios, gives him life, gives him, then the kid says, yeah, you know, I also want happiness. I also want enjoyment. I also want chios. I also want a perk. But if the kid sees the parent trudging along, forcing himself, fighting with himself, and you know what? Sometimes it is a struggle. The kid only cares about one thing. Does my father and mother enjoy Torah? Does it make them happy? Does it give them satisfaction? Does it give them enjoyment? Does it give them a perk? If the kid sees that you make Berachas HaTorah, meaning that you value Torah as a hana, as a pleasure, then of course they're going to want it. If they see you go to a restaurant, they're going to want to go to a restaurant. If they see you enjoying Judaism, they're also going to want to enjoy Judaism. But if they see you just performing Judaism as a task, so the kid says, you know, I'll do something else. I'm not interested in that. That is commandment number four. That if you want to ensure it gets passed down in the right way, show your enjoyment, show your happiness, show your satisfaction. Okay, commandment number five. We're going to move through them very quickly now. This one's really out of the box. It's a little different. It's the idea of Rav Meir Chadash. Rav Meir Chadash was one of the main disciples of the Altar of Slabodka. And this one is really unconventional. And Rav Meir Chadash is very original in his thoughts. And he was speaking from the perspective of a rabbi or a mashgiach, but it applies equally to a parent. And that is, kids are going to make mistakes and they're going to do something wrong. People think, you know what? I'm going to sneak up on my kid and I'm going to open up the door as soon as they know they're about to do the mistake and I'm going to catch them red-handed and then I'm going to tell them. Says Rav Meir Chadash, never catch someone doing something wrong. Avoid catching them. Why? Just because you know, they shouldn't know that you know. They don't have to know that you know. It's better in their better if in their minds they don't know that you know. Why? What's the logic of that? Says Rav Meir Chadash brilliantly. He says, as long as your child or your student doesn't know that you know, they have something to gain from not doing it again. And that is if in their mind they think, oh, my father doesn't know I'm involved in this, or my Rebbe doesn't know I'm involved in this, they'll say, you know what? Let me stop now, and this way I could preserve my reputation, I could preserve the way my father, my parent, my Rebbe thinks about me. The moment you tell them that you know, so they think to themselves, so why shouldn't I do it again? I have nothing to gain by not doing it again. My reputation is ruined anyway. They think lowly of me anyway. As much as possible, they don't need to know that you know they made a mistake. If you could sort of look from afar and see what they're doing, you know what they're involved in, and if you need to take care of it, you'll take care of it. You don't have to let them know about every single bad thing that they did. If you know they flunked the test, the Rebbe told you, and they didn't bring it home, maybe you don't have to let them know that they flunked the test. All you need to do is, by the next subject, you study with them well. You tell them you're going to get 100 on this test. And they'll be motivated to do well. After all, in their minds, Daddy doesn't know that I flunked last test. Let him think of me as an A-plus student. But the moment that they know that their parents think of them as lousy, they don't have the same ambition and motivation to change their ways. Story goes that some talmidim in the yeshiva were hitching rides. Okay, you know, it should be the worst thing in the world. And so they told Rav Meir Chadash, so Rav Meir Chadash sort of snuck to the street, and he caught a glimpse of them, and then he ran back to the yeshiva. So they asked him, so say something to them. He said, no. Now that I know, they don't have to know that I know. Maybe the next time I speak about the subject, I'll say something to inspire them to change. But once they feel their reputation is sullied, and again, not every single rule that I'm telling you is absolute and across the board in every circumstance. You have to use a healthy dose of common sense also, which is probably the most important ingredient. But it's an idea that's worthy of consideration. It's sort of an unconventional idea, which is probably very valuable. Okay, that's commandment number 5. Commandment number 6. Okay, now we're going to do some skulais, right? What would a shir be without a few good skulais? Now, I'm not going to just tell you skulais that are found, you know, in the Svarim. I'm going to tell you segulais that are mentioned in the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. In number 26, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Kal haragel la'asay tzedakah. Someone who is in the habit of performing tzedakah, giving tzedakah. Havyin laibanim, you'll have children, balei chachma, smart children, wise children. Balei oisher, wealthy children. Balei agada, children who are able to say beautiful divrei Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim says that we learn from here a very important thing. Often people are searching for the mystical, magical way to merit to have children. It's a gift from Shamayim. And there are all kinds of far out segulas and far out mystical, heebie-jeebie ways possibly that people search for. Says the Chafetz Chaim, why not just follow the advice of Chazal? The rabbis tell us in the Gemara that someone who is frequent, someone who accustoms himself to giving tzedakah, and by the way, by the same token, the Chafetz Chaim says, either tzedakah or performing acts of chesed, of kindness. If somebody gets into the habit of doing it on a regular basis, constantly, daily, 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 it's always on their mind. What kind of tzedakah could I give today? How could I help someone today? It's on the forefront of their mind. That is the segula to have extra special children. Smart children, successful children, Talmidei Chachamim. Why? So Ben Yoyada explains that if you give tzedakah to an ani, you breathed life into the poor man, you instilled a new spirit into the poor man, so then your children will have chachma, because it says in Mishle that hachachma techaya be'aleha, wisdom breathes life into the ones who have it. And you gave up from your money to give to the poor man, Hashem will pay it back to your children. And you honored the ani with tzedakah, God will give you honorable children. But whatever the reason is, if Chazal say that this works, that this is a proven system, that this is a proven method, then you could take it to the bank. That someone who gets it, it's not just once in a while. You give tzedakah? Yeah, when did you give tzedakah? Yeah, 30 years ago I was passing by a pushkin, I put a nickel in. Now that's not what we're talking about. Ragil b'tzedakah, that means frequently, constantly, always, on a daily basis. Tzedakah v'chesed. It's on the forefront of your mind. That is a segula, says the Chafetz Chaim. It's a wonder. People are looking for all kinds of skulais to have children, to have successful children. Why not just follow what it says in the Gemara? Roidef tzedakah v'chesed. If you run after charity and kindness, it's a special skula. Okay, number 7. This is really out of the box. And the truth is, this might be the easiest one. Amar Rav Huna, look at number 30. Haragil b'ner havin le banim tamid chachamim. One who is frequent in candles will have children who are tamid chachamim. Why? Says Rashi. Because a ner is a mitzvah and the light is Torah. And therefore, what candles is the Gemara talking about? That if you frequently light candles, so what are you supposed to do? Go to every street corner, start lighting candles. You go to, is Wasserman still here? I haven't been around lately. No. Where it's still here? It's across the street. Things change, right? So imagine you go to different stores, you start lighting candles. They'll lock you up. You know, what does the Gemara want you to do? Light candles. Where? Over here we have 2 candles, right? But what does the Gemara want from? Light, someone who frequently lights candles. So Rashi says it's referring to Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. It's a little, so now, I mean, who doesn't light Ner Shabbos and who doesn't light Ner Chanukah? But obviously it refers to fulfilling the details of the halachos precisely. For example, You know, so the Minhag Yisrael is a woman lights 18 minutes before Shkia. Because if you light 18 minutes, then, first of all, according to Rabbi Lezer Mimitz, Shabbos actually starts 13 and a half minutes before Shkia. Okay, it's a chumrah that the men don't always keep. And this way, the 4.5 minutes before that is something called Tosefa Shabbos. You're adding on to the Shabbos. So you light it at the right time. I'll tell you another halacha. When a woman lights Ner Shabbos, and the same thing goes for when a man lights Ner Chanukah, you don't just put the candle on, oh, it caught fire, okay, on to the next one. Shulchan Aruch says you hold the candle on until most of the fire, most of the wick that's going to burn, the fire has spread to. Meaning, let's say the wick that's sticking out of the oil or the wax is an inch tall. You hold the candle on until most of that inch has caught fire. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. You do that by Ner Chanukah as well. So you say men, you know, what are men supposed to do? The women light the Ner Shabbos, and the men light the Ner Chanukah. It's interesting, Rabbi Kiva Eger. You know, it says in Bamem Alikin, Shloisha Dvarim Tzarech Adam Loimer B'Sech Beisai Erev Shabbos. Three things a man tells his family Erev Shabbos. Yisartem, Eravtem, Hadliku Asaner. Did you take off Masar? Did you make an Erev? Did you light the candle? So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, why when it comes to the candle do we give a whole speech of three words? It should say, Yisartem, Eravtem, Hidlaktem. What's Hadliku Es Haner? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, from here we see that the woman only lights the candle, the man should set it up. The man should set it up. And the Mishnah Berurah says, it's really proper for the man to set up the Friday candles. I'm embarrassed to say that I just started doing it. I just started doing it. I saw this, I just started doing it. It's not an obligation, but it's a nice thing to do. So again, if someone is careful in the candles of Shabbos and the candles of Chanukah, to do it at the right time, in the proper way, to learn the halachas, do it correctly, it's a special segula to have good children. Okay, we're almost at the finish line, right? I think I started at 8:40, so I have a few more minutes, okay? Take my time. The Gemara says in Masech to Shabbos, Chav Gimel Amad Beis. Amar Rava. Rava said, number 33, Derachim Rabbanon, Havilei Benin Rabbanon. If you love Rabbanim, if you love rabbis, you'll have children who are rabbis. Demoikir Rabbanon, you honor rabbis. Havilei Chasnevasa Rabbanon, you'll have son-in-laws who are rabbis. If you're afraid of the rabbis, you'll become a great scholar. So let's explain this. If you love Talmidei Chachamim, you'll have children who are Talmidei Chachamim. If you honor them, you'll have son-in-laws who are Talmidei Chachamim. If you fear them, you'll become a Talmidei Chacham. Says Gemara says, what if I never open up a sefer in my life? No, then people will listen to you like they listen to Talmidei Chachamim. I guess people used to listen to Talmidei Chachamim. So, Gemara says something very interesting. If you love Rabbanim, you'll have children who are Rabbanim. If you honor them, you'll have son-in-laws. If you fear them, you'll become a great Torah scholar. The Maharal explains as follows. Who do you love, Soma? Who do you love more than your children? If you love a Talmud Chacham and you show them love, you show them how much you value them and cherish them, then Hashem will say, I will give you what you love as Talmidei Chachamim. You love Rabbanim, you'll have children who are Rabbanim. If you honor them, then you'll have son-in-laws. Listen like this. Rabbi Yochanan said, Mani mechabdusa, my clothing honor me. Now listen carefully. Your clothing are not you. Your clothing just bring you honor. For example, somebody who walks in without any clothing will be quite embarrassed. If they come in only with their, you know, undergarments, it will be embarrassing. If they're wearing clothing, they'll have some self-respect. If they're wearing a suit, they'll be even more honored. If they're wearing a really sharp suit and they look good, the nicer your clothing, the more honorable you appear. Your son-in-law is like your clothing. Your son-in-law is like your suit. Why? Because when your children do something wrong, then the way you view it is, it's like, it's me. You and your child are one entity. Your son-in-law is not you. He's like a nice suit that you have that you could show off to everyone. oh, this is my son-in-law. You see this suit? This is a nice suit. And this is my son-in-law. So if you honor Talmidei Chachamim, God will give you that which brings you honor, Talmid Chacham. But if you fear Talmidei Chachamim, now if you fear, what does it mean you fear? When you're afraid of something, you're basically, what you feel is, compared to that thing, I'm nothing. I nullify my existence to that. So if you're afraid of the Talmud Chacham and you sort of nullify yourself to the Talmud Chacham, that you're not even existing compared to the Talmud Chacham, then that's what you'll become. But the bottom line is, the Gemara says, if you love Talmidei Chachamim, you'll have children who are special Jews. So it's not always easy. Not everybody instinctively has warm, fuzzy feelings to Rabbanim and Talmidei Chachamim. But if in general, you have a positive attitude, and you do, you value them, you love them, and you express it to your children, you express it to your family, then that's a special segula to have children who are special children. Number nine is obvious, and at the same time, it's interesting. Number nine is like this. Rav Pam once got up, and he spoke in front of the assembled crowd, and he said that one of the most important ingredients in having good children is shalom bayis, harmony in the home. When the child sees that the father and mother, the husband and wife, deal with each other with some courtesy and politeness and respect, and they feel some stability in the home, that will produce a healthy child. And then Rav Pam supposedly said that the Stipler said that having good children is 50% prayer and 50% shalom bayis. So I always wondered about that. 50% prayer and 50% shalom bayis. That's what the Stipler said. Where did he get that from? I mean, it makes sense, but where did he get that from? So about 15 years ago, I wrote a letter to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Stipler's son. And I said, did you ever hear from your father that having good children is 50% prayer and 50% shalom bayis? And he wrote back to me two words. Loi shamati. I never heard him say that. So did he say this? I don't know. But it still makes sense. I think everybody would agree. And this is an idea that across the board everybody agrees upon. That in order for a child to grow up, just to be a healthy human being, to be able to deal with people, to have the confidence, to have the stability, there has to be peace in the home. What else does a child have to learn from than the interactions of the father and the mother? It doesn't mean they always have to agree, and it doesn't mean they always have to be on the same exact page on every issue. But when the child sees the parents are able to navigate in a civilized way, that gives the child the ability to navigate through life. Okay, Marav Rabbeisai, these are the nine ingredients of raising children. And now let us conclude with the final ingredient and the final commandment and probably the most important ingredient, and that is the Yalkut Shemini tells us, there was once a God-fearing Kohen, and he had 10 children, 6 boys and 4 girls. And every single day, this parent prayed and rolled in the dust. And he davened and he cried and he krechts and he screamed and he begged and he cajoled and he, Hashem, please keep my kids on the right path. They shouldn't do something wrong. They shouldn't do an avera. They shouldn't do anything that I'm embarrassed of. Says the Medrash, this parent was taken out of Bavel by Ezra and he went up to Eretz Yisrael and he saw for 50 years children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, Kohen Gadol after Kohen Gadol after Kohen Gadol after Kohen Gadol come from him. So what do you see from the Medrash? That a very important ingredient in having good children is prayer, 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 prayer. Tefillah, tefillah, tefillah. The story goes, so somebody once visited the Brisker Rav, and a certain Rosh Hashiva walked in, and this Rosh Hashiva, unfortunately, his kid became a member of the Communist Party. And he sees the Brisker Rav sitting around the table with all of his boys, all of them, special children, Talmidei Chachamim, God-fearing Jews. And this Rosh Yeshiva asked, Nu, what did you do? What's your secret? What are the techniques you used? Did you use the first 9 methods or the 9 commandments of children? You heard the shir? Briska Rav says, nah, you're making a big mistake. Ingredients, commandments, techniques. There are no techniques. All there is Tehillim and tears. That's the only techniques. The only thing that works, the only thing that actually does something, the only thing that's valuable. Now, don't throw everything else in the garbage. No, everything is needed. You have to use common sense. You have to use techniques. But ultimately, the bottom line is that the most important ingredient is tears, prayer, prayer, prayer. One time, the Brisker Rav was walking down the street with one of his sons, and a certain rabbi stopped him, and he said, Brisker Rav, you did a good job with your children. You know, you did a good job. You had hatzlacha raising your children. And the Brisker Rav did not respond. A few blocks down, he turns to his kid and he said, success with my children. Do you know how many rivers of tears I poured when my kid was in their crib? That they should grow up to be God-fearing. They should grow up to be Balei Midos. They should be mentioned. They should be Talmidei Chachamim. The Brisker Rav said, never in his life did he ever daven one dry-eyed Shemoneh Esrei. Never in his life did he not shed tears by the Amida, davening that his children should be God-fearing. That's an amazing thing. He never let even one prayer go by without shedding tears for his children. He said, you know, parents make a mistake. They lift up their kid and they rock the kid and they sing them lullabies about people, kids falling down mountains, breaking their heads open, like ridiculous fables, Aesop's fables. And Jack and Jill broke their heads open. They needed, the Hatzalah came and they rescued her and then they went to the paramedics. I mean, that's what the kids sing. Says the Brisker Rav, I didn't sing nonsense to the kid. When I held my kid, I shed tears that they should grow up to be God-fearing Jews. Says the Shlach HaKadosh, and the Mishnah Berurah brings this down, in number 39. I read to you his words. Tamid tia tfila shkura b'fi avaim. It should be frequent in the mouth of a father and mother, lehispalel alzaram, to pray for their children. Then what does frequent mean? Frequent doesn't mean once a month. Frequent doesn't mean once a day. It means all day. You take your kid to yeshiva. On the way, you're davening for them. They should be matzliach. They should be God-fearing. You drop them off. You say a prayer for them. During the day, you're saying prayers for them. And at what should you daven? That they should learn Torah, they should be righteous, they should be mentioned, they should be Balei Midos. And then the Shlach identifies 3 intervals in the prayer. And by the way, it's never too late. Don't say, well, I forgot to daven for them when they were in their crib, so they're a lost cause. No. And the job never stops. You could be a father, a grandfather, a great-grandfather. The job never ends. You know, you don't ever stop davening for your children. The Shlach identifies 3 specific parts of davening to pray for them. Number 1, in Birchas HaTorah, when you say, V'niya anachnu v'tze'etzainu, that's a very powerful time to daven for one's children. In the bracha of Ahava Rabba or Ahava Soilam, when you say, Avinu Avaracham, merciful Father, V'sein b'libeinu bina, place in our hearts understanding, not just my heart, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. And finally, in the Uvalat Tzion prayer, when you say the words Laman Leiniga Larik Leinele LaBahala, so that my efforts and my toil are not in vain. But it doesn't only have to be in these intervals. Every moment of the day, all day, this should be something that's constantly on a person's mind. 2 more stories, and we'll wrap it up. So, when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, I had the privilege to meet a certain tzaddik 2 times. This tzaddik, his name was Rav Mordechai Zuckerman. He was one of the last surviving talmidim of the Chafetz Chaim. He lived in Givat Shaul, and he was once interviewed. And they asked him, you know, Rav Mordechai, your Rebbe, the Chafetz Chaim, he lived in a generation of tzaddikim, talmidei chachamim, goyinim, and yet he was the Chafetz Chaim. You know, he was the God of Hadar. So, what was it? What was it about him that he rose above everybody else. And I was blown away by this. The Reb Zuckerman's thought, and one of the things he said, the tears that his mother shed on his behalf, that her son should be a God-fearing Jew, in his opinion, that's why he became who he was. An incredible thing. You know, how could somebody, we're going to measure now between the Chavetz Chaim and other Gedolim? And Reb Zuckerman said, if you would see the tear-drenched Tehillim of the Chavetz Chaim's mother, you would understand how he became the Chavetz Chaim. Let me share with you one more story. This is one of my favorite stories. So you say, you know, when am I off the hook, you know? I'm already a great-great-grandfather. I want to retire already. I have to keep on praying for my children, my grandchildren. So they went to the Stipler. They said, Stipler. Parents came, what can we do to have good children? Stipler said, well, what can you do? There's only one thing to do. You have to pray. You have to daven. You have to be mispah. You have to cry. Stipler said, you see my chayimol over here? My chayimol. I still daven every single day that he should be a God-fearing Jew. You know how old his chayimol was then? Rav Chaim Knievsky, one of the Gedolei Hadar, he was 52 years old. He was already one of the Gedolei Hadar. And his father was still praying for him that he should be a God-fearing Jew. So we hope, maybe we'll review very quickly again, these 10 ingredients. First one is to make sure you have the relationship, not just as an instructor, a mentor, a friend. The friendship is critical. Number two, if you're going to tell them something, you're going to teach them something, you better be sincere about it. You better mean it. Number three, living example. They're going to learn more by what you do than what you say. Number four, if they see the enjoyment, they see the happiness, they're going to want to continue it. You don't have to catch them every time they make a mistake. Somebody who is frequent in doing chesed and tzedakah, it's a school for wonderful children. Number seven, lighting Ner Shabbos, Ner Chanukah correctly. Also a special skula. Number eight, loving Rabbanim. Loving Rabbanim is a secret, is an ingredient in having Banim Tamicham. Number nine is Shalom Bayis. And finally, number 10, and most importantly, is Tefillah, Tefillah, Tefillah. We hope, we all hope and pray that the Rebbe Sham should answer our Tefillahs, and we should all be Zoicha to have children, generations of God-fearing Jews. The Rebbe Sham should give us all the Nachas that we all hope for. Thank you so much for listening.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.